had it five times. It was the first one. It took two Wednesday nights to get it all done. And that's when you don't have a thou shalt not, how to make decisions biblically. We talked about some other things. And tonight we're talking about priorities. And again, we all have them. And tonight you were, I guess we can all put a check mark beside we have good priorities. We're in church tonight. We put that as number one. And that's what Matthew 6:33 tells us to do, is to put God first. And so, again, we could all be lots of different places. We could be eating. We could be sleeping. We could be doing something in an entertainment realm, or we could be at work. And some people have to be at work and can't help that. But, again, we ought to try to place, we're not ought to try to place because we're commanded to place a high priority on God, and He wants to be first. Priority basically means superiority in rank or position. So in other words, God, and we're going to look at several verses here that says that God, he wants that, He desires that. Matter of fact, He deserves that. He needs to be first and deserves to be first. Matthew 6:33, very familiar verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are to put God first, and He'll take care of us. And again, the fact of the matter is that He can do a whole lot better of taking care of anything that we're going to go through than we can. You know, a lot of times we try to figure out things. A lot of times we try to you know, maybe manipulate the situation, things like that. But we ought to just give it to God. Just like the prayer request that we just took. There's none of us in here that can heal anybody. There's none of us in here that can fix any of those situations, but God can. And so we're trusting Him and asking Him to do so. But if we'll put God first, He'll take care of us. And matter of fact, God can do way better than we can individually, but He can do way better than anybody else can too. A lot of times we'll try to maybe give somebody else the control and say, you know, you take care of that, you figure it out. But God's the one that wants to be first. And Psalm 37:25 says this, I have been young, and we all can say that, and I can now say this next statement, I have been young and now am old. All right, my grandkids tell me I'm old, my kids tell me I'm old, and things like that. So this verse, I can say it all. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet, here's the key. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So this shows that Matthew 6:33 works. I've been here 55 years now, and I've never seen anybody, I didn't say they didn't have troubles, I didn't say that their life was perfect, but I've never seen anybody that has put God first. You know, he's just first. That's been you know, left forsaken, because the Bible says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake you." We have that promise, and so anybody that puts God first, they have the promise that He's never going to leave you. I didn't say you weren't going to have problems, but He was going to be right there with you. He's going to guide you through them. He's going to use those things and things like that. But then it also says, "Nor his seed begging bread." We may not be a millionaire or live in a mansion, but we will be taken care of. We may not be able to eat T-bone every night, but we will be taken care of. And it says that, I have been young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, if they put God first. Now, some of them that put themselves first, or their career first, or their desires first, I've seen them struggle a little bit. But we see here, if we put God first, we won't be begging bread, we won't be forsaken. Colossians 1:18 says this, and He is the head of the body, the church. If you're saved, you belong to the church, and it says here that He's the head of that. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have preeminence. And so Jesus, that word preeminence, same thing, means superiority or first. He wants to be there. So He's the creator of all things, according to the Bible. Then He's the Savior of any person that is saved. And so He rightly owns or has that, ability to be first place. So as by way of introduction, we're going to look at three things of introduction, then we got 4 points, and we'll be out of here. So we've got about 30 minutes, so let's go. Here we go. Jesus not only taught priorities, He practiced it. So He wasn't a do as I say, not as I do God, or do as I say, not as I do Savior. He was like, look, this is how we're supposed to be, and I'm going to be that way too. So Jesus not only practiced priorities, He lived it. So first of all, He did that by saying so. So a lot of time, we know statements like talk's cheap, put your money where your mouth is, it's easier said than done, and things like that. But we're going to start with this. Jesus said it. A lot of times we'll say, but then our life doesn't back it up. Or we'll say, and we don't back it up. But Jesus said it first. Look, I'm going to prioritize. I'm going to have that list. And some of us are prioritizing people. We have our little lists and we have our planners and things like that. That's good. That's fine. But Luke 22:42 says this, saying, so in other words, Jesus said this, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So again, we see here that Jesus practiced prioritizing by saying so, first of all. He said, look, again, if you read in context, Luke 22, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's sweating great sweat drops of blood. And of course, in my mind, if I was sweating great sweat drops of blood, last night at the fair, I was sweating great sweat drops of sweat, but not blood. And so that was normal. I was okay with that. I took a shower when I got home. But if I was sweating great sweat drops of blood, I would be in a serious conflict in my mind. Am I going to make it? Am I going to live? Or am I going to die right here? And Jesus was saying, you know, if it be willing, let this cup pass from me. In other words, he didn't want to die right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says here, for the joy of the Lord was set, for the joy of the Lord was set before him. He wanted to make it to the cross. He wanted to go finish his work. But he told God, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, you have priority in my life. You are number one. Here's a couple other verses. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, so talking to the disciples, my meat. All right, and he wasn't talking about T-bone here. He wasn't talking about pork chops. He wasn't talking about lamb chops, but he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So that word meat there meant my satisfaction or what sustains me or what keeps me going is doing the will of him that sent me. And I want to finish it. And so again, we see here that he said, you know, not my will, but thine be done. My meat, what sustains me, what keeps me going is doing God's will. John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. This is Jesus talking. All right? I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So Jesus was saying the reason that I can make judgments down here on the earth is I don't care what it does to me. I don't care how it, you know, it doesn't get me sideways. It doesn't get me bent out of shape. It has nothing to do with it. That's why he could be slapped and spit upon and cursed. And it didn't affect him. Why? Because he was here to do God's will. And so he wasn't putting himself. And so that's why he could do it. Why? Because he practiced priorities. He put God's first and God's will first. Last one. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Jesus practiced priorities by saying it. Number two, he practiced it by doing it. So again, we said that a while ago, put your money where your mouth is. He did, and we're going to see it. It's easier said than done. It was, but he did it too. So not only did he say, I came down here to do God's will and not my will, but thine be done. He said all that. He said the right things. But in John chapter 4, we won't take time to read it all, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase here. It says he was talking to the disciples. And his disciples went to buy meat. And that word meat there did mean meat. All right? They were going to go get some food, some grub, something to eat. So the disciples were hungry. And they're like, look, we're going to town to get some meat. You want anything? Kind of like you do. We're going over here to McDonald's. You want anything? We're going over to Zaxby's. You want anything? And so forth. That's what they were saying to Jesus. We're going to get some meat. And Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing here again. You can read it in John chapter 4. Before I eat, I must needs go through Samaria. So we're seeing here that he said that he prioritized. Now we see him prioritizing. Now, when it comes to eating, it's hard for me to prioritize. I would rather eat breakfast before I have any discussion. Okay? It would not be good for me to not eat breakfast and come down here and counsel. I have a counseling meeting tomorrow. I will make sure I eat before I get here. My brain just works better. I'm in a better mood. All right. But here Jesus sitting here, he's putting this woman at Samaria above eating. So he did prioritize. And he says, the reason I can't eat right now is there is a woman. She's been married 5 times. The guy she's staying with right now, it's not her husband. She's going to be over there at the well in Samaria, and she needs to be saved. So more important than me eating a cheeseburger, or more important than me doing whatever, I got to go witness to her. And so we see here that Jesus put his money where his mouth is. He did prioritize. And he did it all the way through his life. We're just going to look at a couple. We see that he prioritized when he was on the cross. Was he hurting? Yes. Was it uncomfortable? Yes. And so forth. But he did not say, you know, poor old pitiful me. Get me down from here. This is not what I want to do. No. He prioritized. Even on the cross. What did he say? Father? Oh, who's supposed to be first? The Father. Right? He says, Father, forgive who was next? Them. For they know not what they do. So he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the Father. He was thinking about them that were cursing him and wanting him crucified and things like that. And then, he didn't stop there. He looked to the one side and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So he's prioritizing here. Father, forgive them. And he's coming to heaven with me. He didn't stop there. He looked out at John and said, hey, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. He wanted his mom taken care of. So we see here, he wasn't just saying, hey, prioritize, you do it like I say do it, and I'm not going to. No, he did. He said, Father, forgive them. This thief is coming with me today in paradise. Mom, John's going to take care of you. John, take care of mom. And then what did he say? Okay, get me off here. No. He said, it is finished. He came to do the work. And so we see he prioritized. So not only did he command or say that you ought to be have priorities, he did have priorities. And then thirdly, he commanded us to have priorities. Acts chapter 1, I believe we preached on this last Sunday night. It said here, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In other words, when the Holy Ghost gets here and he gets on you, then you go and preach. And so he was saying here, God's first. Don't go start preaching. Don't go start passing out tracts. Don't go start inviting people to church till you get God. God has to be first. And God, the Holy Spirit, showed up. And then he said, then you go preach to them. Don't worry about you. You go preach to them. So he was commanding them to be prioritized. So we see the Lord demonstrated priorities in his own life when he was down here on the earth, and so should we. We are demonstrating priorities in our life by being at church on Wednesday night like we are. Those that will be here on Sunday, they'll show that priority that God's first on the first day of the week. They're coming to the storehouse. They're bringing their tithes. So priorities are essential for anything to be successful. Anything. A business today that's successful is because it's got priorities. And there's somebody in charge. And then there's people that are, you know, putting themselves under that person and doing what that person says. They're prioritizing. And it's successful. Anybody that has a personal life that's successful, it's prioritized. Anybody that has a successful spiritual life, it's because it's prioritized. So something or success is not something that just happens by accident. How'd you get to be, spiritual? I don't know. How'd you get to be wealthy? I don't know. How'd you get to be in great health? I don't know. It just happened. No, it didn't. It was prioritized. And anything that's successful doesn't happen by accident. So a man that is successful first gets his priorities right. A person that ends up as a failure is because he never got his priorities right. He never did things decently and in order. Matthew 6:33, it says, all things. All right, so we saw that priority, God's first. Then his righteousness, and we'll see this in the outline in just a minute. But then he says, and then all things. So nothing wrong with those things. But a lot of times what the devil wants us to do, and maybe our own flesh wants us to do, and then some so-called friends wants us to do, is put those things first. And then give God the leftovers. And then, tip God a little bit. No. And the devil's fine with that. If you just get your priorities out of whack, and right here it is in Matthew 6:33, God, his righteousness, then all these things. So the things aren't bad. So there's nothing wrong with things as long as these things are in their place. But when we get good things in the wrong place or the wrong time, that good thing becomes a bad thing. So someone has said that when good takes the place of best is when good becomes bad. I'll give you an example. I don't know if anybody in here has a 2-carat diamond ring. But let's say a lady had a 2-carat diamond ring. That's pretty big, okay? And so, she might wave this way. She might yawn. Because she's proud of that, okay? And I've seen lots of engagement pictures. You know, they're proud of that thing, all right? And that's a thing. Nothing wrong with that thing. I bought one. Amen. I'm glad I only had to buy one. That's a blessing. Just one. Amen. And so I bought that, and it's on her finger. All right, but let's say she took that good thing off her finger, put it inside her shoe, and went out and walked a mile. Okay? The ring still is worth the same amount, whether it's here or here. Here is comfortable. Here's a blessing. Walk on it for a mile, it's being a pain. It's bringing something bad. There's a blister. There's a cut. And so we see here that that same thing that brought her pleasure, if you put it in the wrong place, it's going to not bring pleasure. It's going to be uncomfortable. So the diamond was worth the same amount on the finger as it was in the shoe, but all of a sudden it brought her pain rather than pleasure, and all it was the different place that it was occupying. And so that's the key. Nothing wrong with things, but if we put things in front of God, it's going to bring displeasure to Him and probably to us as well. Here's a couple other things. I love sports, played them all. I love to have fun. Okay? Nothing wrong with sports and fun. I had to learn this. You don't put sports here and God here. You don't put fun here and God here. All right? You put God where He's supposed to be, and you can have it. So God does not want us to live a miserable, unhappy life. That's what the devil will tell you. Oh, don't listen to him. If you prioritize him, you're going to be miserable. You're going to hate life. And if you put God first, you're not going to have any fun. You're not going to be able to do anything. No, that's a lie from the devil. The truth of the matter is, the Christians enjoy it better than anybody else. I've seen guys that played sport with me that was hooked on drugs. Okay? I got finished playing sports. I went home, went to sleep like a baby. They went home, puked their guts out, or had a headache that they couldn't stop. And who's enjoying the sport more? Me. All right? And then, again, I've seen people try to play a sport or have fun that are drunk out of their mind. They don't remember it the next day, so they can't remember what they did. And then, again, they're not going to be able to do it well. So the lie from the devil is, if you prioritize and put God first, you're not going to have any fun. You're going to be miserable. And so the Christian that does it right, I guess we can say that we will enjoy this world better. And the Bible does say we're in it, not of it. So there's nothing wrong with enjoying things while we're here on the earth. But we also can enjoy the spiritual life as well. There's not an unsaved man alive that enjoys the landscape, the scenery, the atmosphere, the sights like a Christian does. They can go see them all. But when you see something as beautiful, let's say, as Niagara Falls, and you're saved, wow, that's beautiful. But I'm saved and heaven's going to blow that away. Because the Bible says, eye have not seen, ear have not heard. You can't over-exaggerate heaven. So, we see that if we look at it in priority and have the right perspective, we can enjoy all those things. So, after we are saved, the birds sound sweeter or sing sweeter. The grass looks greener. The flowers bloom brighter. Why? Because we're saved. So, God is speaking not against the things, but He's saying, make sure you have them in the right place. So Roman number one, we've got to go real quickly to get these four down. Number one is here, a clear command. A clear command. Nobody can argue it, but seek ye first. Right there. God didn't say, but seek ye second. He said, seek ye first. In other words, God's supposed to be first on the priority list. He didn't say, seek ye after you've done what you want to with your life. No, He says, seek ye first. Then let God help you with what you're going to do in your life. He didn't say, seek ye when you get around to it. All right? I've heard of churches having round to it Sundays. We might have one here one day. I don't know. People don't say that much anymore. But I'll come to church when I get around to it. So I was going to make some round to it's and let y'all pass them out. Here's your around to it. You always said you'll come to church with me when you get around to it. Here's your around to it. I don't know what around to it looks like, but we'll just make one. But that's what I'm saying. It didn't say seek you first or seek you when you get around to it. It says seek you first, the kingdom of God. So seek means to go after. To look for it. Don't just say that it would be nice to have God as the Lord of Lord over me that would help me rule my life or rule my life and be in control. No, go after that. Seek it. Seek also means absolute surrender. This is why a lot of people, just like the lie of the devil, if you put God first, you're not going to have any fun. You're going to be miserable. That's a lie. And then here's another lie. Well, if I put God first, He's going to tell me to sell my business and go to the mission field. And so that's why a lot of people won't put God first, because they're scared they're going to have to get a, you know, a machete, swing from a vine like Tarzan, and go preach in the jungle somewhere. You know, so that's, oh, I can't do that. So they just don't. But again, that's not the case. Well, you know, if I put God first, He's going to tell me to sell everything and start a church from scratch, and I'll be poor. The truth of the matter is, if that's what God wanted you to do, go swing from a vine and carry a machete, that would be the best thing in the world for you. Right? If He wanted you to start from scratch a church or do something for Him that would make you not have a lot of money, that would be the best thing in the world. Why? Because it was God's will. You can have nothing better than being in the perfect will of God. So people ask me, was it hard to move from Florida to Kentucky? I was like, nope. They're like, what, man? That's Florida. Whoopee-doo. Why? Because it was God's will. That's why it was easy. It wasn't hard. I didn't cry a lick. I mean, I cried tears of joy. Like, oh, man, you're going from that church that runs that many and you get paid that much and you're going to... Not even a blink of an eye. Didn't lose a bit of sleep over it. Why? Because God's going to take care of me. It's God's will. And so we see here, prioritize, it's a command. Matthew 6:33. What we should say is, Lord, I will go anywhere. I will do anything. I will say anything that you want me to, and continue on, no matter who it angers. Because a lot of times we won't put God first because of what we're going to hear from relatives or what we're going to hear from friends. The clear command is, before we seek a paycheck or a bigger house or a nicer car or pleasures in life, we should seek God to rule our life. So seek first the kingdom of God. Then B was His righteousness. This means to be like Him. I love that song, Oh, to be like Thee. George Whitefield prayed this, Dear Lord, someday I will be like You, and I am to be like You. George Whitefield prayed, Dear Lord, someday I will be like Thee, and if I am to be like Thee someday, why not today? So I can be a blessing to the most amount of people. And of course, we talked about this not too long ago. David said in Psalm 17, When I awake in His likeness, I will be satisfied. That's what we're supposed to be, seeking for His likeness. Adoniram Judson came home on a furlough. He was a missionary. And it says here, the writers, this was back before internet and back before, you know, any Instagram, things like that. People just wrote stuff in papers. So the newspaper writer asked him, Judson, they are writing you up as the modern day Apostle Paul. How does that make you feel? He said, I didn't want to be like Paul. I wanted to be like Jesus. That was his answer. So it was a clear command. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then the third thing, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. The Bible tells us to take no thought what you wear, what you eat, where you live. God says He'll take care of it. And it says here, to be whatever state you find yourself in, to be content. God will take care of you. Then it says not to covet. God will take care of you. So we are to seek His rule in our life, His control in our life, His character in our life. So first was a clear command. Second is a constant conflict. So just like some of you will remember this, before you got saved, the devil tell you that they're going to laugh at you, which was a lie. Most people, when I got saved, they were crying too. They weren't laughing at me at all. They're going to make fun of you. That was a lie. Okay? That's a lie from the devil. Anybody that cares about you and is a Christian themselves wants you to get saved. It's a blessing. That's a lie from the Satan. So same thing here. Just like the devil says, don't you get saved, don't you get saved. And you finally get saved, he still doesn't leave you alone. Same thing here. God wants you to say, put me first. Put me first. And so you make that decision. Okay, God, just like I decided to get saved, now I'm deciding today I'm going to put you first. I'm going to prioritize and you're going to be right there. Okay, the devil's going to finally leave you alone. No. Just like he didn't leave you alone before you got saved, he didn't leave you alone when you got saved. He didn't leave you alone not to put God first. When you put God first, He's not going to leave you alone. So we see here it's a clear command that we're putting God first. But secondly, when you ever do it, and hopefully you have already, but when you do it, it's still going to be a constant conflict. The devil's not going to say, Just like he didn't say, well, I lost his soul, but I'm still going to bug the snot out of him. Now he's prioritized and put God first. I might as well leave him alone now. Nope. He's still going to, it's going to be a constant conflict. I wish I could establish our priorities once for all and it would be perfect forever. Mm-mm. The devil's real and he's never going to give up. So he's going to come to you, and I'll give you these real quickly. He's going to come to you. If you put God first, he's going to say, you've thrown prosperity out the window. You're going to be poor. You're going to be almost begging. You're not going to have anything. Why? Because you put God first. You're done. You're toast. The devil will get you to think that maybe I've sacrificed enough. Let's let somebody else sacrifice. I've seen people do that. They live a sacrificial life, giving to missions and doing this, that, and other. And it's like, man, I've done this forever. Forget it. I'm going to go live it up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah, they do it. But according to the Bible, they're losing a lot of rewards up there. Because he'll get us to think about prosperity. After all, my family deserves better than this. I'm tired of asking and praying and seeking and trying to trust. I'm just going to forget that and go put this first. Nothing wrong with prosperity. All the devil is trying to do is to get you to take God off number one and put prosperity up there. That's all he's doing. Popularity. I've always put God first, but nobody likes me. They make fun of me. They're mad at me. We can't get along because of this teaching in the Bible and this, that, and the other. I'm not popular. So it'd be just easy for me to take a chill pill instead of having some standards and having some convictions. I'm just going to be middle of the road, go along with the flow so everybody will like me. Nothing wrong with everybody liking you. That's what he's doing. He's just trying to take God off the throne, putting the popularity right there. Pleasures. We could just give you a list of pleasures. So clear command. A constant conflict. But here's number three. A crucial choice. A crucial choice. Remember, it's your choice. And your choice is going to have far-reaching effects. Obviously, my choice affected my kids. And now, in turn, it's infecting my grandkids. I'm way too young to be talking about great-grandkids yet. But hopefully it'll still affect. Why? My choices. Romans 12:1. I beseech you. I'm begging you. Put God first. That's what this verse is saying. Therefore, brethren, save people by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. In other words, he's saying that he died for you. You ought to live for him. Live holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So surrender your life. Be a soul winner. Have supplication in your life. And so we see here this crucial choice is, number one, it's a spiritual over a carnal choice. The flesh tells you, and the world's philosophy says, if it feels good, do it. So that's what I'm saying. If we've got God prioritized up here, even in our decision making, not if it feels good, do it, does it make God pleased? Okay, so you got to choose spiritual over carnal. If it feels good, do it. Now, we're supposed to choose in line of God's purpose for our life. Not only should we choose spiritual over carnal, we should choose eternal over temporal. Eternal over temporal. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat the earth. So this is when heaven and earth is destroyed by heat, by fire. Also, the works that are therein shall be burned up. So anything we've done here on this earth is going to be burned up. If we've done it for ourselves, it's going to be burned up. If we've done it for pleasure, it's going to be burned up. But if we've done it for God, if we've done it for His will, it's going to be paid for in heaven. So money, houses, possessions, things, all that stuff's going to be burned up. So here's the challenge underneath this one. Don't give your life for something that's going to be burned up. Give your life for something that's going to last. So in other words, people are going to last. John 5:28 and 29, I'll paraphrase and give it to you real quick. It says that everybody that's ever been born is going to live forever. John 5:28 and 29. The key in that passage is everybody's going to live forever, but it's either going to be in heaven or in hell. Only thing heaven and hell have in common, they're both forever. So if I'm going to prioritize and say I'm going to work for eternal things, not for temporal things, I want to live for things that's going to last. So I'm going to try to get people saved. They'll be with me in heaven one day. Here's another one. Not only should I live for things that will last, like people, ought to live for the Word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, that God's Word will last forever. Mark 13, 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. So eternal and temporal, we ought to live for people. We ought to live for the Word of God. We ought to live for God's will, not man's will. Genesis 17, 1 through 2, God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. And so we see here that we're supposed to please God. A couple of illustrations here, and I'll give you the last point. First one here, it was a younger pastor, and so he was going to take this church, and they were running about 700. And he was younger. So that was a little bit odd to some people that, you know, most of the time when you have a larger church like that, you'll have somebody that's seasoned, not a novice or whatever. And this young man had been voted in to take this church. And so he was in the receiving line. And it says this elderly lady walks up to him and says, you know, I don't know why you came here. I don't know why you took this church. How in the world can someone as young as you please 700 people? And he said back to her, I didn't come here to please 700 people. I only came here to please one. And that's him. And so if he's pleased, I'm okay. Everybody else will just have to fall in line. And kind of another example, it was over in London, there was a commuter train. And there was a person that was taking the tickets. And there was this couple of people that had bought season tickets or tickets where you could ride it for a long time. And they came up to the line and they were like, oh man, I forgot my pass. Let me on. Can't. And he's blankety blank, dude, you've seen me 30 days in a row. You know I come here every morning. Can't let you on. And so, cussed and walked off. The next guy in line said, well, you didn't please him. He was upset with you. And so he turns and looks, and right up there was a glass wall where you couldn't see in, but you could see out. He said, my boss is sitting right there. As long as he's happy, I'm okay. So that's what we're seeing here, that we ought to live for eternal, not temporal. You might make some people upset down here on the earth, but as long as he's happy, we're okay. So we see that we ought to make that decision, spiritual over carnal, eternal over temporal. And the last one, commitment over convenience. Commitment over convenience. Once you say, okay, I'm going to prioritize, I'm committing to put God first, it's not going to be convenient. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to remember it. You're going to have to ask Him to help you. But you will be surprised how things will go in your life. The only illustration I can think of on this one, this white shirt right here has lots of buttons. I usually stop with this one that chokes me. All right. But if I get that one, you know what happens to the rest of them? They just fall in line. But if I put the third one up here to that one, I don't know if you've ever done that, but it gets it all out of whack. Nothing else lines up. It's a mess. And I would look weird, okay, if my shirt was all twisted like that. But if you get the first one, everything else is going to fall in line. That's what God's saying. Seek ye first. Put me first. Everything else will fall in line. So we see here, but get it in order, and you won't have a mess, and God will be able to direct your steps, all those things. So priorities. We ought to put God first and please Him, and everything else will fall in line. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for commands in the Bible. Lord, thank you for being a priority person while you were down here on earth and commanding it, living it, showing us how to do it. And Lord, also thank you for being a God that will bless us if we get our priorities right. Put you first and live righteously, and you'll add all the things that we need. And Lord, I just ask you to help our church, bless it, or help it to grow, and Lord, reach people for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.